Recently on the Wastewaters podcast, you heard Mr. Chris say,
I think that now that they're taking away the easy slam dunks, one of the things that they can do is maybe increase the frequency that we're getting upgrades, right? So now it's 100 agreements, right? Maybe make it 75. Agents, trainers, keepers, pilots, hunters, eighth wallers, and our beloved explorers and wayfinders. Welcome to episode 118 of the Wayspotters podcast, a podcast dedicated to helping you become a better wayfinder. Wayspotters is brought to you by the good people of the Pokemon Professor Network. Today is Friday, April 19th. With me, as always, is Jamal. How's it going,
buddy? What's up, man? How you doing today? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. Gas jumped. We were talking about this right before. Gas jumped 14, 15 cents a liter. And like 50 cents a gallon overnight up here. So
I think if gas jumped 50 cents a gallon, people would like set the gas station on fire. Yeah. Like I said, their fault. But yeah. Like it goes up 5 cents here and people are like grumbling about it. I couldn't imagine 50 cents a gallon.
Yeah, it was crazy. And it's, we all, like, they gave us notice, I guess, like the news broke it, so like the gas stations the day before were just jammed. There's a few gas stations that ran out of regular gas.
That's so crazy. Well, you know, the conversion, yeah. We were talking about this right before, but the conversion for Americans, like the first time I went to Vancouver, British Columbia, and I was trying to get gas, and I'm like, a liter, I'm like, okay, my only reference for a liter is like a liter of Coke or something like that, and I'm like, how many liters are in a gallon? Then you have to make that conversion. Then you have to make the conversion from Canadian to American. And I'm like, this is like, and I just started pumping. I'm like, I don't even know what I'm paying. I'm just swipe the card, pay it. I need the gas anyway. We got to get back to Portland. Like, I don't know. To this day, that was years ago. I still don't even know what I paid for it.
Yeah, it's tough doing that conversion. I remember going down to the U.S. for the first time and looking at it and going, why is it so expensive down here? And my wife's like, no, it's actually cheaper. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to trust you. I believe you. I don't want to do any math.
You're making my head hurt. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, we got a good show planned.
All right.
First, let's jump into the news.
And now, the latest Niantic news from the Wayspotters podcast, presented by the Pokemon Professor Network.
Two things this week. The Wayfarer team discovered some technical issues with machine learning. So, Emily had some issues again.
Bad robot.
Bad robot. Prince posted that and I laughed. That's good. Affected nominations between March 4th and March 22nd. They have identified all of the impacted nominations and are automatically appealing them for free, so you won't have to burn an appeal on it. So if you notice that you're not, a couple of your nominations or one of your nominations has been automatically appealed, that's why. It's funny because I had this in the notes because a couple of people were just like, I think you had one too.
Yeah, I had one.
Like, I didn't appeal this. Why is it an appeal? So I just had it in the notes. I'm like, this is weird. And then they made the announcement like the day later. So
yeah.
I was like, ah.
And my appeal was rejected, of course, but that's another story for another day.
Yeah. Yeah. Emails for removals are broken. Simpleton posted on the forums that some of the ambassadors have noticed that they aren't getting resolution emails to their removal reports, despite the way spots being retired. Niantic Aaron posted saying that they are looking into it. So if you've had anything that you're trying to get rid of recently, maybe check the Wayspot to see if it's actually gone, because they're not sending it to emails. Before we get into topic number one, I know we're about to bash on Niantic a little bit in this episode, so I apologize, but I wanted to shout out Niantic Aaron. He has been all over the forums since it launched.
Sure has. He's doing an amazing job. Niantic Aaron has been out there on the front lines, like being that face of Niantic that we always ask for. So that's very encouraging.
Yeah, it's super encouraging, and he's been doing a really, really good job being open and communicative with the community. And I know a bunch of people have replied to some of his posts being like, hey, appreciate that you're answering basically everything. Mm-hmm. So kudos to you, Niantic Aaron, if you are listening. And if you are not, someone from Niantic, please give him a pat on the back for us.
Yes. Can we add one more thing to the news before we go into topic number one?
Yeah, for sure.
Can we officially welcome our new teammates? Should we do that?
Oh, yes.
So
go ahead and do that.
So we have Good Morning Johto with Lane the Main is joining the Pokemon Professor Network, and the Purified Podcast, who we always shout out at the end of the show, is officially joining as a full-fledged member of the Pokemon Professor Podcast. So for you people out there who like sports, the analogy I draw is kind of like Notre Dame and the ACC. Like Notre Dame's kind of in the ACC and they're kind of not in the ACC. In the ACC for everything but football. They're in like basketball and everything else. They're a full-fledged member, but football, they're an independent. So this would be the equivalent of Notre Dame fully joining the ACC. So I'd like to welcome those three guys, the two on the Purified Podcast and Good Morning Johto. Welcome them fully to the Pokemon Professor Network. It's always good to have more teammates, more coverage, more ideas, more everything. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a really cool partnership. And I believe we are all going to be in New York. So we'll get a family picture, and there's probably lots of cross promotion stuff that's going to happen. So welcome to those teammates.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Super excited to have them on board. Good Morning Johto is a great podcast.
It is.
Lane's amazing.
Yes, it is.
And Purified Podcast is great, too. Oh, yeah,
for sure. So the stuff they talk about is, like, way over my head. I am not ready for those concepts, but I like it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It's funny you mentioned Notre Dame, because Notre Dame's my college. That's right. The one that I follow.
I always like it when I can make a good sports analogy to Wayfarer or something, Pogo. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Well, you know,
that's a good one.
You know, I'm a Ducks fan, Oregon Ducks fan, but being a good Catholic boy, I've always rooted for Notre Dame going back to grade school, you know, because that was like the Catholic college. And, so I've always followed Notre Dame. Haven't necessarily been like a super fan of Notre Dame, but I've always kind of followed Notre Dame. So it's always good. You know, the funny thing is you and I are both sports guys, and we like talk zero sports on here. Cause I think most of our audience is probably like, yay, sports ball, and not too interested, but we could, you know, every now and then have like a mini segment where we break something down in sports. So
maybe for April Fool's next year, we'll do a sports episode.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
I'll make a note. All right. Topic number one this week.
Topic number one.
We're going to talk a lot about Niantic doing Niantic things, and it's unfortunate that Niantic has become a verb. Every once in a while, it rears its ugly head, so... First, friend of the show, Aquaboss64, posted on the forums a screenshot of a warning email they received about one of their nominations. And it's important that this email reads as a warning. I'm going to read it. Following a report and internal investigation by our team, we have confirmed that you have been submitting Wastebot nominations that do not meet our criteria. As first of all, it was not nominations, it was nomination one, singular. As a result of this violation, you are receiving this email as a warning and an opportunity to learn from your mistakes. Then it mentions the Wastebot, and then says, blah, 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 read the
criteria right? Yeah.
Yeah. So for context, can you pull this up on the screen for me? This is a banquet hall that is frequently used by the community for various events. Mm-hmm. And it's attached, it's right beside, it's physically attached to a firehouse. And I debated on going back and forth on whether or not we should talk about this, but I think it's important that we do, because it's important that we learn from each other as wayfinders to become better explorers and better wayfinders.
Agree. Right?
And this is something that I don't think a lot of people take into account when they're doing nominations. And I'm not saying that Aquaboss didn't when he did this. Mm-hmm. But I know there are a lot of people who don't. And there's a lot of stuff that's close to firehouses that I see in my reviews. And it's important that we all kind of learn from each other. So this is, I pulled it up on screen. It is... Yes, there is a parking lot off to the side that's far away from the firehouse. But the problem is the interaction radius, right? Because your pogo interaction radius is 80 meters. And I don't think a lot of people really realize
how wide 80 meters is.
How wide 80 meters is, yeah. Right? Like, it's pretty significant. And if this pin was placed at the front door, then it absolutely, the interaction radius covers the front of the firehouse, right? So you potentially have, you could potentially be blocking emergency services, right? And even if, because I know a lot of people were like, well, what if you put it in the back corner? So if, even if you put it in the back corner, the edge of that 80 meter radius still clips the front. Right? So Niantic tends to err on the side of extreme caution when it comes to this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Rightly or wrongly, that's kind of the way that they look at this stuff, right? So there's a bunch of discussion on the forums that were like, oh, is it eligible? Is it not? It's some people were just like, well, it's a completely separate building. It's got its own parking lot. It's got its own entrance. It's off to the side. I'm like, yes, 100%. That's all true. It's absolutely all true. And you could absolutely go there and attend a banquet there and never even cross the minds of the firefighters that are there, even if they had an emergency. But the difference with that is those people are cognizant that that firehouse is there. They're there because they want to go to that banquet hall. They're parking in that parking lot and going into that banquet hall, right? But if you've got someone who's hacking that portal or trying to take over that portal, or someone who's, if this becomes a gym or a Pokestop, they've dropped a lure there and now they're standing, they might not notice, right? And rightly or wrongly, that's kind of, Niantic looks at it and goes, the potential is there. We're not going to take the chance. So Niantic Aaron replied and said, thanks for flagging this. The nomination in question is very close to the driveway that emergency vehicles use. This could lead to an unfortunate situation in case of an emergency, and as a result, we find it ineligible. Regarding the message, I can confirm that this was just supposed to be a notice type of email and not a warning. It did not go on your record and hence will not be considered for the abuse letter. I admit that it could have been worded better, and we are going to work on that. We thank you for your understanding. Happy exploring.
This is where I want to jump in. So, all right. So if we go back to the original email, now we've talked in past that words matter, right? We've said that words matter.
Yep.
All right. I want to read you the first part of this email over again. Following a report, an internal investigation performed by our team, we have confirmed that you have been submitting waste spot nominations that do not meet our criteria. As a result of this violation, you are receiving this email as a warning and an opportunity to learn from your mistakes. Now, that doesn't sound educational to me. That would scare the pants off of me, right? That would scare the pants off of me because, okay, first of all, there's a warning. Then there was an internal investigation, and then I get a warning. So there's a report, an internal investigation, and a warning. Like, if you're just trying to educate somebody, you're doing it the wrong way. So, I mean, that's kind of where I jumped in on the forum after Niantic Aaron replied. And I'm kind of like, hey, look, we might all agree that this shouldn't be a waste spot or it's too close or whatever the case is. But let's get the communication right. Don't give somebody a warning for something that's nuanced, because Niantic has encouraged us to review the nuance by taking away the slam dunks. And, you know, by proxy, they've encouraged us to nominate the nuance. And I can see this both ways, right? I kind of go down the line, like I said, on the forum, and like you and I have talked about, I kind of go down the line on the side of Aquablast 64 that I probably would have nominated this, but me, I probably would have nominated in the very back corner away from everything. So it's not right there. The pin placement he used was a little troubling, kind of like, you know, because you know me, I'm once a few meters between friends. I would have put it in the back, but you know, I'll say the line, Chris, 80 meters is 80 meters at the end of the day.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. And that letter, that email, I think I put some very choice words in the notes originally to describe that letter.
Yeah.
It's inexcusable and unacceptable.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And like I put a meme up on the screen. It's if you've ever watched The Simpsons, there's that one character who says, "Won't somebody please think of the children?" Yes. Won't somebody please think of the new wayfinders? Because yes, I've seen people post this on Facebook or on Reddit or on Twitter and be like, "Hey, I got this warning email for this one nomination," and people are just like, "Well, I'm done Wayfinder." Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got a warning for one nomination. Right. I am absolutely done because I'm not risking my Pogo account. And that's not what we need right now.
Right.
Right. There's that post on the forums that was like, "Have you lost your motivation?" Another Aquabus post mm-hmm. was, "Have you lost your motivation to review?" And a lot of people have. So like, this isn't the time for us to be scaring away people who are just getting interested in wayfinding.
Right.
Right. And that's exactly what this email is going to do.
So Chris, I have a question for you. If you could write the email, how would you write it?
Ooh, that's a very good question. So I have a little in the notes here. "Hello, Explorer. Following a report and investigation, it has been discovered that you submitted a Wayspot nomination that does not meet our current criteria. As a result, you are receiving this email for educational purposes to clarify why we feel this nomination does not meet our current Wayspot criteria. The nomination in question is X. Through our investigation, we determined that the potential interaction radius for this wayspot has the potential to block emergency services, and as such, we deem it to be ineligible. We recommend that you review the current wayspot guidelines, specifically the portion regarding blocking emergency services. Please note that this email is for education purposes only and will not go on your record or be used in the conjunction with the Wayfarer abuse ladder should we discover further infractions."
That's like super clear. That like lets me know, hey, I know exactly what's going on. Like people would look at that and go, "Wow, Niantic hired somebody that knows how to communicate." Like I could get behind yep. that. I could totally get behind
and
that.
I think no, absolutely. Right. And I'm not just saying that because I wrote it, but it says educational is in there twice. Mm-hmm. I made sure to put it in there twice. You tell them what the wayspot infraction was, and if there's more than one, then you give them a couple of examples. If it's like 8 or 9, I'm not expecting it to list all of them, right. But if you give a couple of examples, a smart enough wayfinder will be like, okay, I understand the correlation between these two and the other 9 that I had rejected, right?
Well, I think
you tell them
one thing I think we forgot to add. There's one important part to this story that we forgot to add: how this wayspot got in the game in the first place.
Right. Yeah.
So this wayspot was approved by Niantic. This did not go into community voting. It was approved right, by Niantic. Yes. So the ML, so Bad Robot, Emily approved it. And then mm-hmm. somehow there was a report about it that brought it to the attention of the team. So in Aquablast's original post on the forum, they were, you know, confused, upset, perplexed that Niantic themselves would approve it and then turn around and take it away and then send out that email to them after they approved it. So it was, the ball was in their court to begin with. They had a chance to deny it before they approved it, and they chose to approve it. So either it slipped through and it's Bad Robot, or something happened there, but the failure was at the top.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And you're right. I forgot that part. And I think this one is an interesting case study for Emily. Like, is that firehouse and that banquet hall geofenced as a fire station in OpenStreetMaps?
Right.
Because if it's not, then I can see Emily approving that all day long. Mm-hmm. And she should.
Right.
Right. Because it's a banquet hall.
Right.
And if she doesn't have the information that's a firehouse is right there, she can't make that decision saying it's too close to emergency services, right?
Right. Yep.
But 100%, like in this email that I written out, it should say, "We recognize that our machine learning bot approved this, and we're going to use this as a training opportunity for it to kind of do better in the future, yes. right? But we recognize that this was originally approved, right?
Right.
And It was probably just someone was like, oh, this is too close to the firehouse. I'm going to report this because people do that, right?
And they removed the waste spot.
Yeah, and it's gone. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Yep. It's important for these emails to be educational, and it's important that it's educational in a way that people understand, not just say, hey, you've done something wrong. Here's the waste spot you did something wrong on. Do better.
Right.
But that doesn't help me. That doesn't help me understand what I did wrong. Like, I understand that they're saying, hey, go read the criteria, but there's a lot of criteria.
Can you be a little more specific? Can you tell me?
Be a little more.
Like, there's 10 chapters. Which chapter in the criteria should I read?
Like, you shouldn't have to have like two screens, right? And the criteria up on one and then your nomination up on the other and be like, okay, good place to be social. Like, look at the mail. Yes, it's not that.
Right.
Is it this? No, it's not that, right? Like, I shouldn't have to go hunting for the reason that you already know.
Right.
It's the reason that it's not eligible, right?
I'll give and tell me if this makes any sense. So, you know, I've talked about it recently. I recently changed jobs. I changed complete different industries, right? So I'm learning all new language, all new acronyms, all new everything. So if I get an email or a letter from my new work, someone who's worked there for 5 years is going to look at it and completely understand what it's saying. But to me, I'm going to look at this and go, I'm not really sure what I'm reading. So to the people or persons, group, whatever it is at Niantic that constructs these emails, whether they hired an outside group or an inside group, when they read it, they know this is our educational email. But to the lay person outside of the people who wrote it are going to read that and take it a completely different way. And I use that example because there's a lot of things at work. Like, I read and I'm like, I don't know what I just read. I have no clue. So if you want clear and concise communication, you need to write the correspondence in the voice of the person that's going to read it. So you have to write it as if you are a explorer reading this, not that you are a Niantic employee who's writing it. Because I'm sure they know, oh yeah, this is the educational email. But if you're Aquabus 64 or Blame Jamal or whomever, you're going to read that and it's going to sound like it's a strike on your account because you use the word report, you use the word internal investigation, and you use the word warning. In most English-speaking countries, those three words together imply there's something serious going on. You don't have a warning from an investigation that came from a report if it's just an educational email. The word educational email was nowhere in there at all. It was, you know, buzzwords that would make you think that you're in trouble. So I don't think Aquablast was out of line at all for being concerned and wanting a little more clarification. And I'll stop here. The last thing that really bothered me about this was Aaron acknowledging, this email could have been worded better. Well, Aaron, dude, you guys are the ones that are writing it. Fix it. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're acknowledging that it could have been worded better, word it better. Chris just gave you a really good idea of how you can do it. Use that. Like, that's one thing that drives me crazy. Oh, yeah, we could have done better. And then you turn around, and I'm sure someone has got that same email after Aquabus 64 got that email. Fix it.
Yep. And I think what they need to do is they need to scrap the form email. Because a human being sat in front of a computer and reviewed this themselves. Mm-hmm. They looked at it. They, as a human, made a decision, right? That human, and I understand that this is going to take more time, that human should write that email.
Correct. Yes.
To the Wayfinder.
Yes.
Says, hey, this is the reason that I feel that this is ineligible. Here's what you've done wrong. Here's the specific criteria. If you have any questions, let us know, blah, 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 send, right? That way it's written by a human. It's not a form email.
Right.
You've got specifics in there. You write the word, it's educational purposes, 50 times.
Yes.
So that they know it's not a warning. Okay. Right. And if you're actually issuing an actual warning, sure, use the form email, right? Don't care, right? But if it's for educational purposes, educate, right? And I think it's frustrating when you see people post about this and they're just like, well, I'm done.
Yeah.
Because I did one nomination. And then some people are just like, well, I had three in a row rejected. Am I going to get banned from Pogo? Like, no, I can see why you would think that.
Right.
like I get it's frustrating as someone who does a podcast every week and does this every week and does several nominations a week that you're trying to get people excited about Wayfarer, and then Niantic just comes and punches that person in the face. You're just like, no, what are you doing?
So then people are going to think, and this is a question, I don't know the answer to this. So if someone, if I report that a waste spot is ineligible and Niantic says, oh yeah, it's ineligible, does that person who nominated get a warning or get that mm-hmm. email? Or does it depend on why they think it's ineligible? Right. So what if it's, mm-hmm. what if I say, oh, that nomination over there, I believe that to be PRP, and they look and they go, oh yeah, it's PRP. So does the person who nominated that 18 months ago get that letter in education? I mean, like, we need some more information and some more clarification. Mm-hmm. This one is, it was a brand new nomination and it was removed almost immediately. But what if it's not? Like, I don't know. I'm confused about this, and I think there's some more questions that I would love for them to answer. I don't think they will answer it, but I would kind of like to know, yeah. because we could educate, like you said. I think the theme of this is educate. I think we could educate a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, as someone who's had quite a bit of things removed off the map, this is concerning for me, because I don't want people, like, I've removed a ton of firehouses, mm-hmm. but they were all grandfathered in from Ingress, right? So, like, did every single one of those people say, hey, 4 years ago you nominated this firehouse, we're giving you a warning? Like, no, it was eligible when they nominated,
right? Yeah, you know, exactly. What I mean? Like, exactly.
Like, I understand if it's chronic, but like the first one has to be an educational email,
right?
Like, you've got to be like, hey,
and
let me hold your hand,
right.
and help you understand this.
Well,
and a lot of people won't even need that. They're just like, oh, okay, you're right.
And
you're
and
right.
they didn't even nominate the fire station. Like, I've seen fire station nominations, yeah. recently. They nominated the banquet hall, which, you know, I'm still on Aqua Blast's 64 side that, yeah, I think that might be legitimate, because I can make the argument and go yeah. on forever. Because if you look at that parking lot, and I found the banquet hall. I did research. I found the banquet hall. I yep. looked at their website.
Yeah, me too.
Probably 120 to 150 people could fit inside that banquet hall. Easy, right? There was pictures mm-hmm. of weddings in there. So, I mean, what if they're having a wedding reception with 110 people in there and there's a fire? What happens then?
Yeah.
I mean, we yeah. can do this what if game all along, but I don't think Niantic should be heavy handed on something when I don't think Aqua Blast was trying to be nefarious with their nomination. I right. think they were legitimately Absolutely trying not. To nominate the banquet hall. And then some yep. of the comments on the other side are like, you know, 80 meters is 80 meters. You got to know your rules. You know, hey, if you're nominating something and it's within 80 meters of a fire station, you know, shame on you for not knowing that, you know. But so, I mean, it's on both sides. And depending on where you put it, I mean, at the back, that 80 meters was like 80 meters, 81, it's 79, 78. Close. It was yeah. close. You know, you could have really,
yeah.
you know, made a good argument that it was a legitimate placement. So I think the conversation needs to be ongoing.
Yeah. Yeah. You could almost install a sign by the road for that banquet hall. And then that, if you put that pin on that sign, it's way off of the firehouse. You're golden.
Right.
Right. Yep. So, and like you're right, we could have that argument all day long. I even put in the notes, I'm like, we could debate the eligibility of this until the cows come right. home. And I don't think you and me would ever agree.
No, yeah, yeah. We could go around and around and around and around on it. So,
I mean, you're right. He wasn't trying to do anything nefarious. And like, even Emily was just like, it's a banquet hall. Banquet halls are eligible. Right. So, it's. It's an unfortunate situation, and I'm glad that they clarified that it wasn't a warning. It was just kind of an educational thing. Yep. And we talked about the emails on the show before, and shortly after they were fixed. Mm-hmm. Like, once they fixed, they're better now. They actually hold examples.
For those of you on audio, Chris did the air quotes when he said fixed, yes. which I love.
They're better, right, than they were before, because before it was just like, you made bad nominations. That was it. Mm-hmm. But like, I've made 400 nominations. Could you be more specific? I did 60 last week. Could you be more specific? Like, oh, man. And real quick, while we're talking about emails, Your edit suggestion will be reviewed by the Wayfarer community according to the Wayfarer criteria. You'll receive a notification email once the community has come to a collective decision. Note that your submissions take approximately 30 minutes to sync with your contribution management page. That's on an edit.
Interesting.
So, hashtag edits on the contribution page. Or fix the email. Just take that out of the email for now. Please, come on. Tired.
Tired. You've only been talking about that since the day you got on the show, so I don't know why it would be.
Oh man, that hill is now a mountain.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump into topic number two. I think we've beat that one to death.
Topic number two.
All right. In the theme of today's episode, do as I say, not as I do. We're going to talk about the Poco team and their map. This is Wayfarer adjacent, but something popped up on Reddit. The thread's now been deleted, and this has been fixed. We got confirmation that this has been fixed, and this was a mistake by one of the teams at Niantic. So I'm going to preface this topic with, it's fixed. But it highlights a bigger problem. As part of a promotion that Niantic ran in Brazil, it didn't get much attention. Zero, the guy who runs the GoHub website, stumbled upon this and then reached out to some people in Brazil and then wrote an article on this.
Back in October, November, right?
Yes, it was a while ago. Yeah. It was like October, November, yeah. They were running a promotion in Brazil to try and drive traffic to Campfire, right, when they were doing their big Campfire launch. One of the rewards was Pink Club. So communities with 200 members at Campfire and a presence of 100 members at community day events would, among other things, get 10 gyms in the park or square where legendary raid hours are played. And that sounds fantastic, right? That's a great promotion.
Sounds really good.
A bunch of extra gyms where your raid hour is. However, the problem was in this city in Brazil, if you could pull it up for me, that place where they were initiating their raid hours was super small.
Super small, compact, like less than a city block, it looks like.
Yes. So for our audio listeners, I've pulled up an image of the gyms, and we'll share this on Twitter and X. That's 14 gyms in one level 17 cell. Like, what? How do you... Somebody, the title of the Reddit thread was, how do you even gym here?
Or something like that. I love that. It was like, I can't click on anything. They're too close together.
Yeah. I think the best quote that I saw was, you don't choose the gym chooses
exactly.
You.
I love that one.
Oh man. And like they were all sponsored stops.
Yep.
So
this got a lot of play on the internet on X, Twitter, whatever we're calling it these days, that it was abuse. And there was a few people that tagged us and that tagged Ken from the Pokemon Professor Network and was like, "Hey, can you look into this? This appears to be abuse. How's this possible?" And then the internet goes crazy. Bashing Niantic and bashing Wayfair. Oh, I live in a rural area. I can't even get one stop. And then these people have this. So it tends to like spur on its own cottage industry. And, you know, I messaged a few people directly like, hey, this is legit. Like DM me. I'll tell you it's legit. So things tend to take on a life of their own. But like you said, these were all sponsor stops. These were all quote unquote, I'm doing the air quotes again, supposed to be there. And I'll let you take it away.
Yep. And it's funny because I did the same thing. I hopped on the Wayspotter's Twitter and I was like, no, this is legit. We're going to have somebody look into it. We pass it on to our contacts in the Wayfair team, but it's like, this is a Pogo thing. So I don't know how much the Wayfair team can do. And Tib got back to us like super quick. Yeah. So kudos to him.
And there's nothing they can do. Yeah, it's the byproduct of working with a siloed company where you have a Monster Hunter team in one building and a Pogo team in one building and an Ingress team in another building, and they kind of do their own thing. And then they're like, oh, hey, by the way, we did this. You did what? Yeah, we did this.
Yeah. It was funny. Did you see the interaction between me and Ken on Twitter? And I was like, nope, this is legit. And he replied with that gift. I was like, what?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, they're sponsored. He's like, oh my God, I thought you were kidding. And I was like, no, it's just 100% legit.
Yep.
And like, so I got up on the screen for our audio listeners. You can't see this, but someone took a shot of a better angle, and you can see the little sponsored gems on the bottom of all of these gyms.
Yep.
And like, people were just like, you literally can't pick which gym you want. Like, you just tap on the screen and then you get a gym.
It's just YOLO. What's your one I'm gonna get?
YOLO. Yeah. Right? Like, and I can feel the rage boiling in our listeners and viewers. Like, how do you even play that? You can't. Like, it's brutal. And this doesn't look like a Wayfair problem on the surface, but you're right. Like, people assumed this is Wayfair. Mm-hmm. People were like, how does this happen? This is abuse. And then when you say, no, it's not abuse, this is just the Pogo team. And then people are just like, okay, so Wayfair has rules. And Pokemon Go has rules regarding their own map. Mm-hmm. But they don't listen to their own rules.
Right.
So, and then when the Pogo team doesn't listen to their own inclusion rules, why do we have to? Why is my nomination because I didn't pay you money? Mm-hmm. Right? So, and then people look at it and go, well, this is clearly the Pogo team is abusing Wayfair. Like,
well, Chris,
you're not wrong.
No, you're not wrong. I'll give you, I know you have an example, but I'll give you one quick example that we all love. If you've been to GoFest or Safari Zone or any in-person Pokemon Go event, as soon as 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock hits and they flip the switch, what happens? A bunch of stops show up and a bunch of gyms show up that break the rules. We saw this firsthand when we were in New York last year. 9 o'clock hit, the park lit up, everything is lured up, there's just gyms everywhere, and it breaks every rule. Like, there's you know, like, it just breaks every rule. And then at 6 o'clock, they turn it off and it goes back to normal. So the Pogo team has the ability to kind of do what they want, irrespective of what Wayfarer wants. So it's what, God, what's the name of this episode again? Do as I say, not as I do. Yeah. I mean, it works, but if you've ever been to an in-person event, you've seen this happen. As soon as they turn the event on, the Pogo team kind of does what they want to do.
Yep. Yeah, exactly, right? And then they turn around and be like, don't you do it.
Right, exactly. No, no, no.
We're not going to do it for you, right? So
roll up the newspaper. No, no, no.
Yeah, exactly. And this isn't an isolated incident, right? So Circle K has a sponsorship up here, and McDonald's has a sponsorship up here. There's a spot at the train station that there's two McDonald's gyms, like, right beside each other. Because there's a McDonald's on the bottom floor and a McDonald's on the top floor of the train station. Oh, wow. So they're both sponsored, mm-hmm. right? And they're both legitimately sponsored because there's a McDonald's in both locations. The Circle K around the corner from my house is that antique car on the roof.
Yes.
That's the gym.
Yes.
Right, that I've talked about before. That's on top of a Circle K. So when Circle K got their nomination, their sponsorships, it loaded a gym basically on top of
the other waste,
the classic car gym. And so everybody in town was rushing to get it gold because they knew it was going to get taken away. And sure enough, like a week later, it was gone. But it highlights a problem. Like, nobody at Niantic on the Pogo team is vetting what's already on the map.
Right.
They're not talking to the Wayfarer team and saying, hey, here's a bunch of coordinates. And so this is what I think happens. I think that when a sponsor comes, like McDonald's or Circle K, and it's like, hey, we want to do a sponsorship with you. Here's X number of dollars. Mm-hmm. What'll that get us? Oh, that'll get us a bunch of gyms. Cool. Here's the GPS coordinates that we want all of our gyms. Here's all of our locations. Go. Nobody's looking at that and going, okay, I'm going to double check this against the map that already exists mm-hmm. to make sure there's no overlap.
Right.
Right. Yep. There shouldn't be because it's McDonald's and it's Circle K, but there's murals, there's art, there's plaques, there's other things that could be in there. There's cars on top of roofs.
Right. There's other POIs in that same cell that might not be on that property, but it's in the, there's a, you know, electrical box on the corner. Some of these lots are pretty big. There could be a church that's in the same cell that has a gym right there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right. And then you end up with 17 gyms on top of each other because nobody, they just typed a bunch of numbers into a computer and hit go. And now all these gyms exist, right? Or they don't vet that you're literally putting a gym on top of a gym. Like that Circle K one, it was like, it was tough to get into that gym because it was like so close to the other one. You had to kind of like angle your game,
angle it and click on it. And yeah,
it just, it looked ridiculous. And it's frustrating when the Pogo team is like, nope, inclusion rule. Well, first of all, they don't even talk about inclusion rules, but like it's, you only get so many per cell and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And it's, we're very meticulous about what gets on our map because we don't want things that are too close together because it makes playing the game not fun. We're like, cool. We get it. I understand. I'm on board, but what are you doing?
Right.
Right. It's just like,
and then
throwing your own rule
out
the window.
For sure.
For my,
and then there was another second part of this. Like I said, things on the internet tend to have a life of their own. There was another second part of this that kind of went off on its own, and people were really upset that Brazil, which is one of Niantic's emerging markets, their target, was getting something that no one else got. And to that point, I don't have a problem with it. They're trying to increase, you know, players in India and, God, I'm going to forget one, Brazil, parts of Africa, and there's one other place in the world or a couple other places, but I have no problem with them doing a special thing in Brazil. And it was one of those things that it was probably never supposed to get out to everybody else. I'm sure it wasn't like a secret because nothing on the internet's a secret, but it wasn't like they were saying, hey, New York City, we're running this promotion in Brazil. You know, everybody, you know, look at this, but it's a way to get that. But I think when those things do happen, they should come out and say, yeah, we're running something special in Brazil. And I'll give credit to the Wayfair team. When they've done those imports from Foursquare and other places in India, they've said, we're going to import these into the map, into Lightship. Everybody go out and take a picture and upload it. So I think that was kind of the second part of it. I think the Internet X specifically is so anti-Niantic that anything Niantic does, they are running to light the gas pitchfork, you know, or the gas torch to torch them. Even when Niantic is trying to do something right, they are so ready. It's just like they're ready to pounce on them, like they're just sitting there ready for it. So I don't have a problem with that. Like I said, you said Zero wrote an article on it, and I read the article, and that's where we got the graph from, or the graphic from. So it's just nobody is willing to give Niantic the benefit of the doubt on anything. And then they make a mistake and then people kind of double down on it.
Yeah, no, 100%. Right. And I think that it's Niantic doing Niantic things sometimes where they just don't put enough thought into what they're doing. Like it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Like sponsorships are a good thing. It drives Pogo. It drives Niantic to be able to create new things for them. And I get it. And it's a good thing. And I don't have a problem with it. I just have a problem with the fact that they don't vet their own map before they do things, right? Nobody sits down and it's just like, okay, let's take a breath. Mm-hmm. What impact on our game will this have if we do this? Have we checked all of the boxes? They need a project manager.
Yeah. For sure.
That sits down at the beginning and is kind of they need a project manager who plays all of their games or at least has a working knowledge of how the maps and how their games work before they start go messing with Wayfarer-ish stuff.
So what you're saying is they need a project manager who is Ingress literate. Yeah, right. Exactly. That guy who's Ingress, literate, who knows lightship, doesn't necessarily have to be level 50 in Pogo or any of this other things, but knows the lightship map and how it plays with Wayfair.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So hopefully this kind of sparks them to maybe vet their stuff a little bit more. I put in here, should the Wayfair team have agency over things like this? I don't know if, I think that, and you've mentioned this a bunch of times, right? I think the teams are too siloed, mm-hmm. right? And this is kind of a concept that you floated a few times, that these teams need to talk to each other more, right? And if the Pogo team's like, hey, we just brought on a new sponsor, it's this company, they want to have stops or gyms in these locations, can you just run it against your Wayspot database and let us know if any of them potentially are within 20 meters of one of the new ones?
Right,
just flag them for mm-hmm. us, and then the Pogo team can take those ones that are flagged and kind of maybe take a look at it and go, oh, is this too far away, is it too close, okay, it's sure, it's in the same cell, but it's like on the other corner of the cell. We're going to let that one go. And I'm cool with that.
Right.
Right. It's the ones that are on top of each other that are the problem. And it's just like, if you had that communication between the two, it would be very, very simple for you to vet 700, 800, 900 locations to say, cool, these 100 are a problem.
Right.
We're going to have an intern look at
them. Yep.
And then when we launch the sponsorship, we're going to say, hey, FYI, we've brought on this new sponsor. Here's the deals. We're super excited to have them on board. FYI, some of these locations may break our inclusion rules, but.
Well, inherently, sponsorships are going to break inclusion rules all the time. So,
right. And I'm fine.
Yeah. So, for example, the comic book shop, not the one that I've been working with, but there's another comic book shop that in the south side of Charlotte that, just showed up within the last year or so as a sponsored location. The mural on mm-hmm. the side of their building was already a Pokestop. So now there's a Pokestop and a gym. And I mean, they are literally next door neighbors. I mean, your character before the buff, now my guy's got big shoulders. That's a whole different podcast. But before my avatar could just barely walk between the stop and the gym. But now he can't even walk through there. So sponsorship are inherently going to break it. Now, the thing that we could do a whole nother show on is when a sponsor location is in a big cell, how does that throw off the count when you're trying to get something else in there?
Mm.
Again, it's a whole nother show. But sponsorships break the rules. That's a definitely do as I say, not as I do, because that's always, 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 always going to throw everything off in that cell.
Yeah. 100%. And like, I'm okay with that because at the end of the day, it is what it is, and they're going to do what they're going to do. It's just be more careful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. I think we've beat that to death.
Yes.
We're going to jump into, and I still have to get my kids to record this, the intro for this. But we're going to do Tales from Canada.
Ooh.
This is technically, this happened in Utica, New York last week. And I don't know. Let me know if you can hear this. If not, then maybe I'll have to dub it in after. But can you hear that?
I cannot hear that.
For hockey. And Canada beat the U.S. So I wanted to kind of look at them celebrating. Go Canada. In New York. Which is a little bit of vengeance because last year the Americans beat the Canadians in the gold medal game in Canada.
I was just going to say that's a little revenge there. Yeah. A little friendly rivalry there across the border. So
it is. So the women's hockey for years, it was Canada, the U.S., and then a bunch of other countries that just got plastered by Canada right. U.S. Yeah. So like it was, women's hockey was not very competitive outside of
North America, for years.
Yeah.
Was it
outside of North America?
Finland was in there for a hot minute, and there was another kind of Sweden, And
Sweden is pretty good. Yeah. Finland's pretty good. There's a lot of other countries who are actually pretty good. There was a few years ago when Sweden beat the US in the semis and kind of the whole hockey world went, holy crap, yeah, what just happened?
Right.
Because the US and Canada were so dominant for so long. Now these other countries are kind of... So it's a fun game to watch.
And now that the Russians can't juice like they used to, they've kind of fallen off. Oh, wait. Okay. Yeah. No, I don't want to get too controversial there.
Russia hasn't been allowed to participate in a world hockey competition for like 2 or 3 years
now. I know, a long time. Yeah. That's what happens when you have the entire team juicing, you know.
Yeah.
It
was the juicing, now it's the Ukraine thing, right?
Ukraine like thing, it's right. But remember
they invaded the Ukraine.
I remember the scandal. Not only were they juicing at the senior level, but it was down into the junior levels also. So everybody was juiced throughout the whole federation. It was just kind of like, what do you call that? Systemic. What were they? Since we're on sports, lack of institutional control.
Yes. Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah. That's a good one.
SMU got the death penalty. Remember, SMU got the death penalty for that way back when in the 80s. Yes. And they've never recovered. Still never recovered. 40 years later, they've still never recovered.
It's called the death penalty for a reason, because right. It kills your program. Like, you're done.
Yep.
Right? It's especially in college. Like, it's if you can't recruit and then you're terrible, even when your death penalty is lifted, like it's tough to get new kids to come to your program when your program is terrible. Like, I don't want to go play for you. You're terrible. Right.
And now the $100 handshakes are legal.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I remember when I first learned what that meant, $100 handshake. And now they're legal. Now it's like wide open. Legal. Now there's here's a bag of cash. Go put your uniform on.
Yeah. And now it's kids transfer to other schools because they can get $200 handshakes.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Let's run to break. We will play some dad jokes, and then we'll come back on the other side with Wastebot of the Week and Cold of the Week.
Sir Amanda here. Rumor has it, if you listen to the Wastebotters podcast, you'll learn about how to make Wastebots.
Hello, this is Kermit the Frog, and you're listening to the Wastebotters podcast.
Hi, this is Course Leo, and you're listening to the Wastebotters podcast.
Are you serious? This again? It's season 3.
What do you call a pony with a sore throat? A little horse? What do you call a deer with no eyes? No idea. Every time I take my dog to the park, all the ducks try to bite him. I guess I should have thought about that before I bought a purebred dog. How do I look? With your eyes. I'm so good at sleeping, I can do it with my eyes closed. I asked the librarian if she knew any authors that wrote dinosaur novels. She said, Triceratops. What did the horse say when he tripped? I've fallen and I can't giddy up.
And welcome back. Hope you like the dad jokes this week. We are going to jump into Wastebot of the Week.
Let's take a look at a beautiful example of what the Wastebotters podcast thinks you should be nominating. We proudly present the Wastebot of the Week.
All right, Wastebot of the Week this week comes from Silver Lyra in the Wayfarer Discussion Discord, and it is a gorgeous tower. It's called Gedu Clock Tower. It's an iconic clock tower in Gedu that can be seen from far. So it is in Gedu, Bhutan. I don't even know where that is.
I don't know where that is either.
It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It looks like a 6-story tower. It's got a bit of a hat roof thing on it. Some windows in it. It's white. And in the background, you can see some mountains. The sky is perfectly clear. and it's just gorgeous. It's gorgeous. It's like, it looks like a scenic lookout.
It sure does. Clock tower. It is really nice.
There's a big paved area for people to kind of walk around in. Looks like there's a scenic lookout building too beside it in the supporting photo. Central communal area for mass events. So yeah, that makes sense. There's a big area there for people to gather. This is a beautiful, beautiful way spot.
It is really nice. I'm looking right now to see where this is, and it looks like Gido Bhutan is in Asia. And it is just south of Tibet. So it's east of Nepal. It's north of Bangladesh. And it's literally, if you look at it on a map, it's on the Himalayan. So the mountains in the background, what you're seeing, are the foothills of the Himalayan. So it's a Central Asian country.
Nice. That explains that. Yeah. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous area.
Never seen a waste spot from this part of the world. So if you're looking at this on a map, it's probably 100, maybe 200 kilometers east of Kathmandu in Nepal, if that helps anybody out at all. I don't know if it does or not, but that's where it is.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know what we should do? We should create a map of all of our waste spots of the week.
Yes. Oh, that's
like put pins on a map where we have them all.
That's a great idea. I might work on that later. Yeah, that's a great idea. I love that.
I might work on that. We got 118 of them, so it might take me a little bit.
I love that.
All right. Let's jump into Coal of the Week.
I've been working on the Wayfair all the livelong day. I've been working on the Wayfair just to pass the... Uh-oh. Oh, no. Hey, Jamal, I found some coal.
Why don't you take this one?
All right, so Coal of the Week number one this week is from Tyrion in the Wayfair Discussion Discord. And if you look at the screen right now, you'll remember about a week and a half ago, we had an eclipse. And what you were looking at here, and I'll get the description and the title, La Luna or La Bella, La Belle Lune, La Bellida a Claire de Luna. So it's a picture of the sky, Chris. And trying to think of the best way to describe it. It's a picture of the sun, right? Or it could be a picture of the moon lit by the sun, but it's a celestial body in the sky, which would be really hard to put on the lightship map because the thing that you've taken a picture of moves. Not only does the earth move, but if I were to go and try to find that right now, it wouldn't be where I left it. So I'm not quite sure exactly what the nominator was trying to get here. What's funny about this is as we go and describe it, if you're looking at this, the criteria under the photo says photo. Photo should be clear and give a clear view of the whole location. And this nomination is covered by clouds. So I thought that was kind of a funny little play on words there that, you know, so... This is it's definitely coal for like a lot of different reasons, but we can't nominate celestial bodies. We can't nominate the sun. We can't nominate the moon, and we can't nominate clouds. So that's definitely coal of the week.
Yep, 100%. So this was it. So the title translates to the beautiful moon, and the description is the moonlight walk.
Gotcha.
And I pulled it up on the map. It looks like this is like a warehouse or a factory. So this is probably somebody on their break from work, stepped outside to watch the eclipse, took a picture, and was like, hey, work stop.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get a Pokestop at their work. So,
and it won't nice be, it won't be in that location again for like 24 and a half years.
24 and a half. Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, that's funny.
All right. Call of the week number two is mine. I didn't realize it was mine until I had already posted it in the notes, and I went back to the Discord to look to see who posted it, and I was like, oh, this was me. This is Lawrence Park Gym. So it's a jungle gym. The photo looks like it was taken from someone's car. Like, you can't see a part of the car in the picture, but this was definitely taken from someone's car.
You can just tell.
Super far away.
Yep, you can tell.
You can just tell.
If you know, you know.
Right? Agent X replied, "It's not that far. Get out of your car." When I posted this, I was like, "Yep, that wasn't even the reason that this is cool. The reason this is cool is the description is, this is one of the three parks in Stroud, Innisfil. Every park except this one has a Poke Gym. Mm. I think it would be great that the longest standing park has its own Poke Gym, just like the others. I know all the fellow kids Pogo players would enjoy in the area." Like, that's not even subtle hints at Pogo. No. That is literally Gym Please. Like,
ooh, come on. And that could be on the surface such a good. You get out of the car, you walk 10 meters, and you ride it and say, This is one of three parks in Stroud, Innisfil. I think this this is a great park. Kids would enjoy to play here. Hard stop. And leave it there. Or even, this is one of three parks in Stroud, Innisfil. Stop. And leave the rest out.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. Like 90% of that description, just cut it out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And just take that and don't even put it in the supporting info. Just park.
Yes, exactly.
This passes. Park.
Park.
Yeah. Your description is park.
Right. Playground. Playground. In Stroud, Innisfil. Hard stop. Yep. And leave it alone.
Stop.
Yep.
So... hopefully they get their rejection and it says description, and then they go, "Oh, all right, I'll learn." All right, you got anything else?
I got nothing else, man.
All right, we're right at an hour, so I'll just sign us off and get people back to their Sunday.
All right,
thank you for joining us on this episode of Wastewaters. We really appreciate it. A big thank you to our executive producer, Kate the Cons, and to all of our Patreons. We couldn't do this without you. Thank you so, so much. Now, if you enjoy this episode of Wastewaters, there are a few ways that you can show us. You can follow us on all of our socials. We're on Twitter, at Wastewaters. We are also on Instagram, at Wastewaters Podcast, and on TikTok, at I Make Wastebots. We are incredibly responsive and love interacting with our followers. Let us know what you thought of today's episode. You can also visit our website, www.wastewaters.com. From there, you can get links to everywhere you can download the show. You can also send us a message directly from the website. Or email us, wastewaters@pokemonprofessor.com. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure to hit the like button, subscribe, and click the bell to be notified whenever we post a new video. For those who still need to be, please be sure to check us out. We post shorts for the dad jokes, Wastebot of the Week, Cold of the Week, and more. I've been lacking on posting the shorts, but I will get better very soon, I promise. Leave us a voicemail on our hotline, 704-426-3710. Or tweet us, or zeet us, a voice message. You never know, your voicemail may appear on an upcoming episode of the show. Finally, if you're not a member of the Pokemon Professor Network Discord, you can join for as little as $1 US a month. All you need to do is go to patreon.com/Pokemon Professor. You will have access to the Discord for the entire family of shows across the Pokemon Professor Network, including Wastewaters, Special Conditions, Gotta Watch Them All, Purified Podcast, Lured Up, and Good Morning Johto, newest edition. It's a fantastic place filled with fantastic people. Jamal and I are active in the Discord a lot, so come and hang out. We would love to have you. And with that, we look forward to you joining us again next week here on Wastewaters. We appreciate all of the support we get each week. We could not do this without all of you. And remember, it's not that far. Get out of your car.